Welcome to Shahada Stories, the podcast. Shahada is the Muslim profession of faith. Each episode, we'll be sharing true stories of the circumstances that led up to everyday people of different faith backgrounds making the choice to become Muslims. We'll also be sharing the stories of people who have always been Muslim, but who experienced challenging moments that led them to renewing their faith. I am Hannah Hassan, and Shahada Stories is my passion project. I'll be joined each episode by my husband, Jamal, to help bring these stories to life. Let's get started. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
It's me, Hannah, and...
me, Jamal.
And we're here for another episode of Shahada Stories, the podcast. Yay!
Yay.
Okay, well, we're really excited to share, I think, what will be a fun episode this time around. It's important to remember that Shahada Stories come in so many different shapes and forms, and some of them are really sometimes sad, sometimes difficult, sometimes just capture a lot of emotion, and then sometimes they're like funny and have joy attached to them and things of that nature. And so that's what this episode is about. It's I think really joyous, I would say. These stories have both been shared on stage before, and they're both often well received, and they bring some type of comic relief from what is otherwise usually sometimes very difficult stories. Would you agree, Jamal?
I would definitely agree. It definitely, you know, cuts the ice where sometimes you get a little bit caught up in the drama of it to bring a little bit of comedy. I like that.
I do too, and I'm so excited because tonight we get Jamal's story.
Yes, and the background story behind it.
Oh, for sure. All right, guys, we won't keep you too much longer. We want to get right into the stories. I think I'll go first with a story called Pork Fork, and then we'll discuss that a little bit, and we'll roll right into Jamal's story. All right, stick with us, and... please listen at the end so we can make sure to give you the information so you can find us on social media. All right, let's get to it. Pork Fork. I was prepared. Mind made up, I was ready to take my Shahada. I did all of the studying, visited all of the mosques, asked question after question. I had found that inner sense of... this is who I am, a Muslim. I was ready. Except there was this one thing that I could not get over. The pork fork. So, yeah, it took a little adjusting when I learned that Muslims don't eat pork. I mean, hello, bacon. But I could deal with that. Turkey bacon is a healthier option anyway. So the not eating pork thing was bearable, and I started that pretty early on in my process. Once I started not eating pork, I realized that we had an even bigger problem. The community pork fork. It's that fork or spoon or knife that is used at collective eating events. And it goes a little something like this. You get to the potluck at work early because you need to scan the scene. There are 20 variations of different food there. At least 7 look questionable. You won't be eating those. So there are 13 left to choose from. And out of those 13, you notice that at least 6 of those have pork products in them. 7 left. And out of those 7, you note that 3 were cooked by coworkers who live with a number of cats and other miscellaneous animals. 4 left. Okay, these 4 look like they've made the cut. 4 dishes from the corporate potluck that you can indulge in. Fruit salad, squash, fried chicken, and mashed potatoes. I'm ready. I make mental notes of where everything is located and I get ready to get in line. But somehow I get pushed to the back of the line. It's cool. I've got my eye on the chicken, and based on my calculations, there should be at least 8 pieces left by the time I get up there. As I look over to check on the status of the mashed potatoes, I notice that Sheila is looking at them too. First, she gets some green beans. The green beans that I had initially thought would be good until I noticed the traces of ham floating around in them. It's like people add pork to stuff for no good reason at all. I mean, really? Green beans cooked in ham? I digress. Back to Sheila. She notices what I notice. The mashed potatoes don't have a spoon in them. Sheila does the unthinkable. She picks up the green bean spoon, shakes the excess water off, and dips it in the mashed potatoes. As if that weren't bad enough, as she is transferring the spoon over to the mashed potato bowl, I notice green bean juice drizzle into the squash. 2 for 1. Good job, Sheila. Great job, finally. It's my turn to get in line. I get my piece of chicken and bowl of fruit salad and sit down. The pork fork has done it again. The pork fork is going to be difficult to navigate at family events and corporate functions. I'll find myself explaining why I don't want to taste your bacon-wrapped chicken or why I now can't eat my great Aunt Mary's biscuits that I've loved all of my life. Her secret ingredient is lard. The change is difficult for my family and me. But it's needed, and I am happy. I took my Shahada a few weeks ago, and we have a family reunion coming up. I think this time I'll bring my own serving utensils. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. All right, folks, we're back. That was Pork Fork, one of my favorite stories to write. It was, just like all of the other stories, based off of a true story. It was just written in somewhat of a different format, but it is an experience that anyone who is Muslim and finds themselves in any non-Muslim space will experience at some point or another. Have you ever had pork fork experiences, Jamal?
I've had many pork fork experiences.
Tell us about them.
Story is supposed to be funny, but it's not really funny when it's in real life.
Nothing is worse than, like, especially, I've always been in spaces because I work with kids where the food that's bought in is pizza. And someone orders 17 pepperoni pizzas, 2 cheese pizzas, and, like, tells everybody, just go get in line. And for that moment, everyone in the room who eats pepperoni wants to get a piece of cheese pizza. It makes me so mad. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I'll turn the table over. I'll throw all them pizzas on the floor.
That's the Islamic way to do things.
That's right.
Anyway, I believe that part of learning how to navigate a non-Muslim world as a Muslim is learning how to navigate the pork fork, because food can get you mad, you know?
Mm-hmm. I learned how to navigate it. When somebody look like they about to put the pork fork in that halal food, I be like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that right there.
Oh.
And then you got to stand there and explain it to them. Like, you just picked up some pork with that, and then you're going to cross-contaminate with the good food right here. Now, I set this to the side for a reason, so that, you know, so that you wouldn't be contaminating it.
And then you look like the fat, hungry person.
No, you don't. You got to regulate. You got to regulate and let people know, like, look, like, we got specific utensils for specific dishes. And that's where they're going to stay.
And typically that doesn't change anything.
It does for me.
Well, I want to shout out my grandmother on my maternal side. Mama passed away years ago. But one thing that she did for our family was all of my life, I never remember going to her house and having to worry about a pork fork. Like, when we would have family dinners, she always made sure that we could eat everything. Like, she didn't have to be like, oh, you can eat those green beans, but not those or anything like that. She could, where her whole family could eat the entire dinner. You know, my aunt every now and again would bring in a ham, but that was off to the side and it was for the ham eating folks. Everything else we could always eat. You know, may Allah reward her for that. She was such a beautiful, beautiful human being.
And you know what's worse than the pork fork? Wait, when you go to a restaurant and you order some food, it's not supposed to have any kind of pork in it. Like, this one time I went to a restaurant, I ordered some potato salad. Why do they come back with a potato salad? They got sprinkled bacon bits on it. Who puts bacon bits on potato salad?
I just told a beautiful story about my grandma and you came back with potato salad.
Yeah, because it's real. It's real. Like, it's, why do you even put pork on this? Like, this dish is, people just be serving, they just have pork. Like, you know, you order a salad, they come back with bacon. There wasn't even no bacon on the menu. Why did you put bacon on my salad? I did not tell you to do that.
Well, you know what scares me? I watch the Food Network all the time now, as you know, and people be putting pork in things that, like, you never could have imagined. Like, now when I go to restaurants, I break things all the way down for the waiter. Like, if there was any pork on that grill, I need to know. Because, like, it'll be something like a fried chicken dish that was cooked in lard. But why? Like, who still even uses lard?
The devil is sneaky.
Oh, yes,
the devil is sneaky. He's just sliding pork in the non-pork items. You don't even know it. You know what I'm saying? Like that old, you know, the old Pop-Tarts. Man, it broke my heart, man. Pop-Tarts broke my heart, man. I was like, why did you have to slide some pork up in there? Like, I used to live on Pop-Tarts. I can't even do it no more.
Okay, well, you know what? I think that that is enough on the pork fork. It's something that we all, as Muslims, have or will experience. And just got to remind people that, that at the end of the day, our character should always be that as a Muslim. So I'll keep that in mind as a reminder for myself first. Any last thoughts on the pork fork, Jamal?
Just keep your eyes open, y'all. The devil is active.
Well, it's Ramadan, so the gates of hell. Well, he's not active now, right?
Not active now,
but he'll be back on his.
He'll be back
June 16th.
Yes, right there, whispering in your ear.
Whispering what?
Whispering you to order some food that got some pork in it, thinking it don't got no pork in it.
Oh, okay. All right, you guys, stay tuned. We have another story coming up. It's Jamal's story. So excited.
The Masjid. By the time I visited a mosque for the first time, I had already decided that I was going to be a Muslim. I liked the teachings of the religion, but I wanted to go inside of a mosque to experience what it would be like once I made the transition. It was unlike anything that I ever could have expected or prepared for. When I first stepped on the scene, I immediately saw a massive amount of people just standing around. And then my eyes adjusted to the big wall of shoes. No one had explained to me that I was going to need to take my shoes off when I went inside. I immediately began to question myself. Did I wear socks? Nah, I don't think I did. Do my feet stink? But I would later learn that there are a multitude of smells coming in from within the mosque. Oils and incense, like Somali rose, that random curry smell, the sweet scent of the fasting man's breath, or what I like to call the aroma of Jannah, shea butter, black soap, and of course, feet. So anyway, I see these flip-flops that everyone is putting on, and I go to the bathroom. Remember, no one gave me a Masjid 101 class, so I'm just following what I see the other brothers doing. So I take my shoes off, and I try to find two matching pairs of flip-flops, and then a pair of flip-flops that don't have a pool of water sitting in them. I was thinking this can't be good for athlete's feet, but I made my way to the bathroom anyway. The bathroom experience was like a factory of moving parts, an assembly line of people going here and there. I watched for a minute, and then I tried to copy what they were doing. The brother beside me was perched up on the wudu station like a hawk. He started with his hands. He would wash them. And then it was like the further he got in the process, the louder he got. Grunts and groans and moans. It was. The purpose of the wudu is to cleanse yourself for prayer. And that's what he was doing. It was awesome. Then I did a polite version of what he did and tried to make my way out of the bathroom. As soon as I stepped out, there was a brother that greeted me that just finished making wudu. The first thing I noticed was his beard. It was glistening with droplets of water. He went to shake my hand, and all I could focus on was his beard. I was thinking, please don't let that water touch me. And here it comes, and he hugs me, and the water drops right on the back of my neck. By the time I got into the masala, it was packed. One of the first things I wanted was, where are the chairs? When I realized there weren't any, I found a place on the floor. The floor was hard. There were men that were directing the flow of traffic. Closer, closer, brother. Squeeze in there. That was until we were knee to knee. We were in rows like a bobsled team. Every time another brother came in, the space got smaller. He would be like, excuse me, I see a piece of carpet in front of you. Can I sit there? And I was looking at him thinking, this piece of carpet right here is for my feet. If you sit there, you'll be sitting on my toes. But he sat down anyway. More than enough space for two of us, brother. If there's any space for one, there's space for two. So he sat down, basically sitting in my lap. A few months later, on New Year's Eve, I took my shahada. My masjid experience was funny, a little bit of uncomfortable, but enlightening and beautiful. I was amazed to see all of the different ethnicities worshiping together under one roof. Also, I would later realize that once you learn the reasoning behind all of the things that I experienced, it all made sense. Rather it be the wudu or sitting or standing together as close as possible, this is the nature of Islam. It all makes sense. La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah.
All right, so we're coming back from Jamal's story, the masjid.
The masjid.
Listen, y'all, I'm sorry if you heard me laughing in the background when he was reading. There are some parts that are just so funny to me. I don't think they can hear me, though.
I think so. Oh, giggle bits in the background, just giggling and laughing and stuff, messing me up for my story. This is monumental.
This is why this is funny to me. There are so many things that I've been, you know, born and raised Muslim. So things that are normal to me, going to the masjid, you never think, except for the fact that we sit on the floor, that people, the other things that people who are new to Islam come in and see, and they're like, what is this? So that's why it's so hilarious to me.
Yeah, it is funny. Once you come into a room and you don't know what's going on and everybody's just swarming. And, you know, the background story is I went there. This takes place. Let me start from the beginning. This takes place in 2001 in, I think, late October, November. So this was right after 9/11, basically. And my cousin lived in New York, wanted me to come up there to visit him and maybe, you know, go around and tour some of the masjids and things like that. Maybe go to Atlantic Avenue, pick up some books, yada, yada, yada. Which I was like, I'm not for getting on no planes and going to New York right about now. But he kept pressing me and pressing me. And I was like, I don't know about this. Because, you know, they had shut down the airplanes for a minute after 9/11. And, of course, when they got back up and running, I was like, I don't feel like taking no airplane rides nowhere. You know? And but he finally, you know, got me to come. And the masjid I was talking about is a very known masjid in Brooklyn, Masjid Attaqwa, where Siraj Rahaj was the imam that day, which I got a funny story about Siraj Rahaj, but I think I'll save that for another one. So, you know, he did not tell me that, first of all, Juma was on Friday in the middle of the day. So when he was like, yo, let's roll, I was like, all right. So I'm just, you know, I'm rolling. Like, I didn't put no socks on or nothing. You know.
Wait, you didn't know where you were going?
No. I had no idea I was going to Juma prayer. Or else I or the fact that I needed to make a wudu or anything like that. Or let's mention the fact that I was in line to make Juma prayer and didn't know how to make Juma prayer.
Well, he didn't give you like a preparation for any of those things?
No. I knew no Arabic. I didn't know the English. I didn't know how to bow, go down to the floor, nothing. I was thrown in there just willy-nilly, basically.
So that's why you didn't have any socks on.
Yeah, that's why I didn't have no socks on or nothing, you know. I didn't know how to make wudu properly. Like, I might have invalidated everybody's prayer. I don't know. I don't know what the fic of that is. But I had no knowledge of anything that was going on. And I was just kind of mimicking everybody else. So Yeah, it's just funny, like the thing with no chairs and just sitting there all together. Like, it's, oh my goodness, my legs were just killing me because, you know, I'm sitting kind of Indian style and I'm not trying to, you know, rub up against nobody, but it was tight knit. It was really, really tight.
I can imagine. I think that, like, going to the masjid for the first time, I would hope that you would have somebody with you who could really show you the ropes and make you understand what was going on. But it seems like, you know, he was just like, let's just do this. And then it just happened.
Yeah, he's my deadbeat dad in Islam. He's my deadbeat father. Well, and show me the ropes and how to be a man in this deed.
Well, let me ask you this. 2011, that's however many years ago. 11.
No, that's 2001.
Oh, 2001. So, wow, 2011 would have been 10 years. Uh-huh. So it's almost been 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow. What would you sort of tell somebody to know when they were going to the masjid for the first time? I guess another brother, because it's different for sisters.
Well, first of all, I think you would need someone to tell you, like, just overall how Jumat goes. Like, what they, you know, need to do. I don't think that, you know, there should be any pressure to, you know, have to pray or learn how to pray. You know, just, I think you should go on as an observer first and see how everything goes down. And then, you know, you can talk about what happened and the reasoning behind things. And then, you know, go from there. Though, if you're somebody who you want to, you know, you want to participate in it and stuff like that. Like I said, I don't know the fic of this, whether you're jumping in there and if your prayer is going to be accepted, you know, like, I don't know that, you know, ruling or whatever. So I wouldn't want to get into the prayer lines if I didn't know what I was doing or saying, you know, I don't know if that's acceptable or not. But, you know, yeah, I guess you have to talk about that beforehand.
I think one of the hardest things is that the floor situation. Oh, yeah, it's always a Jumat. Well, I don't know if this happens for the brothers, but in the sister section, somebody wants to squeeze in really close.
Always.
And I know why we do it. I know, like, as we said at the end of the story, there's reasons for all of these things, but I'm still human. And I really don't like when, like, other people's, like, wet body parts touch me. And there's always somebody who didn't dry off after wudu.
You know, for full transparency, I have cuddled with a brother before on the floor. I have, you know, like, you get so close and they're just leaning and you're like, maybe if we lean on each other, you know, it won't be so bad. Like, my back will start hurting a little bit. Like, you know, you get real intimate, you know what I'm saying, on that floor. Like, you know, you just be touching and all this. You got to. You got to just let it go. Like, we're going to touch, basically.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it.
And, you know.
Enjoy it. Learn to enjoy it, brother.
Okay.
Let our toes intertwine and touch each other.
Well, I don't know about all that, but okay.
Yeah.
All right. That is the end of that story. I don't have anything else to say. You got anything else about the masjid, Jamal?
Let's see. Well, I guess, oh, I can say there's a lot more that comes after that, but, just as a side note, at the end of the story, like it says, I did take my Shahada later on that year, which would have been 2002. And then that first week of that year, I actually went to Jumah in my hometown, Richmond, Virginia, and went to the masjid and, you know, made officially my first Jumat prayer where I actually knew what I was doing and all of that stuff. And a funny story with that is when I first went down to find where the masjid was at, of course, it was a storefront masjid. So I didn't know that, like, it was a masjid because it had no signs up and stuff. I walked past it like 3 or 4 times looking for this masjid that was right there in front of me. But the funniest part of it was I came in during, like, I think it was after, it might have been after or before, a little bit before Asr. And, of course, nobody was in there. And the only person that was in there was the Sheikh. And I would call him Sheikh Muhammad, you know, just because that's an Islamic-sounding name.
Okay.
Sheikh Muhammad. And I remember him in the bathroom. I was sitting on the floor waiting for, you know, him to come out. I remember he was in the bathroom making wudu. And he came out, and it was like how Charlie Murphy explained when he first saw Rick James, like it was like a, he had an aura about himself. And he came out the bathroom and he was walking up these stairs and he had on like all white with the whitey mama and everything. He had a white beard, Egyptian brother, like light skin. And he came up and he was like, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." And I just looked at him and in my mind, like, I heard the music playing in the background, like, doo 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 doo. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had this aura.
This is not true. He started speaking to you in Arabic?
Yes, he started speaking to me in Arabic.
Why?
Because he was from Egypt. He spoke Arabic.
But you're clearly not Egyptian.
No, but he wasn't talking to me. He was in the masjid just saying, la, 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 la. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. He was just saying that he was wiping himself and he had the glow on him. And I remember looking at him and I was like, what? And he just had this aura about him, you know what I'm saying? This aura about him.
Uh-huh.
You know, like on the Chappelle show when Rick James came out.
Okay, got it. Charlie.
You know. Niggas come, he's like, Charlie.
And he did not notice you standing there?
No, he was just like talking. And then after he finished, then he looked at me.
Who walks around speaking Arabic to the sky?
Well, he's probably talking to the angels and stuff.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying? He's like, Charlie.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
You guys, thank you for listening to the mosque, the masjid. And thank you, Jamal, for sharing your story with us.
It's been a pleasure.
All right, guys, thank you for listening to another episode of Shahada Stories, the podcast. We ask that you go and follow us on social media and get the conversation started about the podcast. You can find us on Facebook, which is sort of our main hub, at facebook.com/Shahada Stories, SHAHADAH STORIES. If you're interested in being interviewed by me for a Shahada story to be shared on the podcast and possibly on stage when we do this live, email shahadastories@gmail.com or on Facebook, shoot us a message. I would love to hear from you. We ask that you please share this with your friends and family so that we can take back our narrative, so that we as Muslim Americans can own what our story is. And if you're not Muslim, I welcome you to share this as well, so that we can sort of control the message that's out there with what people believe and hear and know about Muslims, because we know better than anybody else. And we're happy to have anyone who's listening with us. Thank you for taking time to listen, and we will see you on the next episode of Shahada Stories. Good evening.